There we go. Exodus chapter 1, starting in verse 6, and then we'll go to the end of our end of chapter 2. The children of Israel, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all his generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. Therefore, get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Phithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted the children of Israel, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved by the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other was Pura. And he said unto them, Why do the office of a midwife, or when you do the office of a midwife, to the Hebrew women, see them upon the stools. If it be a son, kill it. If it be a daughter, let her live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? And the midwives said unto the Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. Just murder them again. And every daughter you shall save alive. Chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi. His name was Amram. And he took a wife of the daughter of Levi. We don't have to guess at her name. Her name was Jochebed. This is found in Exodus 6, verse 20, the names of the husband and wife. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done with him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's edge, her side, and when they saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maiden to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, This is one of the Hebrew children. Now, everything that was said before by the king, it doesn't change what he said. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? Pharaoh's daughter said, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. What luck. No, never. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now, he's in the water. He's by the bulrushes or the flags, whatever, but he's there. What a glorious lesson in God's sovereignty, God's wonderful grace and providential care for his elect. Let me read you something here. The history of this Moses is one worthy of strictest attention, and his remarkable life deserves the closest study. The life of Moses presents a series of striking antitheses or types or shadows. He was the child of a slave, the son of a queen. He was born in a hut and lived in a palace. He inherited poverty and enjoyed unlimited wealth. He was the leader of armies and the keeper of flocks. He was the mightiest of warriors and yet the meekest of men. He was educated in the court and yet dwelt in the desert. He had the wisdom of Egypt and the faith of a child. He was fitted for the city and wandered in the wilderness. He was tempted with the pleasures of sin and endured the hardships of virtue. He was backward in speech and yet talked with God. He had the rod of a shepherd and the power of the infinite. He was a fugitive from Pharaoh and yet an ambassador from heaven. He was the giver of the law and the forerunner of grace. He died alone in Mount Moab and appeared with Christ in Judea. No man assisted at his funeral, yet God buried him. How many types and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ is there? But just as our sovereign protected Moses for the deliverance of his people, he did the same thing with the Lord Christ. Remember when Herod sent out, he saw that he was mocked by the wise men. He sent out a decree, every child 2 years and under, kill him. Kill him. And yet Christ lived. We see that in Matthew chapter 2. And what about us? How many times perhaps we look back on our lives that we may have lost our life or thought it was about to go, and we're here today. He's redeemed his people who he foreknew. He will not forsake his people. So there's so many types of salvation and pictures of grace and God's providential dealings. I just want to look at a few of these. Let's look at this amazing lesson. Let's just look at this amazing lesson. The first thing we see is Pharaoh. Okay, Pharaoh represents the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, and the enemies of the people of God. Look at this. In verse 7, the children were fruitful. Verse 8, they were more in number and mightier than the Egyptians. And then Pharaoh says, let's deal wisely or cunningly or deceptively. Let's deal this way with these people. And so they set taskmasters over them to afflict, verse 11. But the more they afflicted them, the more the children of Israel grew. Verse 13, the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve. They made their lives hard and bitter with bondage. And the king of Egypt, he gets the Hebrew midwives and says, this is what you're going to do. You go in there, the lady is with child, she bears a child, you help her with that child. If it's a boy, kill it. I mean, we think things are bad today. This was going on thousands of years before modern warfare. The depravity of man knows no bounds, no limits, no age group. It doesn't start when you're 10. It starts when you're born. All are born under sin. So this is in the heart of every man to do this. It doesn't know any ethnic backgrounds. It knows no race, no creed, no monetary. No. All are forsaken God in their own way. And look at how vicious this man is. You take this boy. If he's a boy, you kill him. You shall kill it. Verse 16. If it's a daughter, he'll live. Then they got, it's amazed me that they didn't follow what he said. He's king. I wonder if there was any repercussions. We don't know that. So that didn't work. So then he just tells his own, he's just his own people. You see a boy born, you throw it in the river. Now that river is the Nile. That river is crocodile vested. We cannot have these people increasing in number. We cannot have this man to rule and reign over us. So he schemes this horrible, horrific plan. But look at, God has other plans. Look at verse 17. But, that's like Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy. But the midwives feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. Our Lord will plunder the best laid plans of men, the best thought out plans, and the most intellectual workings of man to accomplish his divine purpose. But the midwives feared God. Whether it's the sure and faultless rise of the seed of woman, as here in Moses, to accomplish the deliverance of his people in their salvation. Moses was going to be used. He didn't know it. He didn't know. He was just a little kid in the bulrushes and an ark. But God's purpose and will never be thwarted. And Lynn and I were talking about this. See what they did? I have to say this. The midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded him. Now, again, it's pretty clear in scriptures, we are to obey the magistrates. In our case, the president and the governors and the mayors and this and that. But if it contradicts what we know to be true in the word, we do not do it. Shut this building down? Nope. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Why? Because the scripture, Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. If those in Rome could still gather under the guise of, you know, they could do somewhere else, but they were going to gather together under the threat of death. That's why they had the fish. That's why the fish was the big deal. God's people, and I know we got modern conveniences and all these different things, but and that's good. I'm glad we have them. I'm glad we have them. There's some who cannot come. Distance or whatever it may be. But the midwives feared God. That's it. That's the key. That's what will be our next point. But that's faith. One old writer said, he who lives by faith will never die by fear. So won't do it. Now, death is a fearful thing. But our Lord has conquered death. He will save his people, or as it relates to each and every elect, chosen sinner, we will see all things work together for good. I refer you to that little pamphlet, the book of Esther. I refer you to Daniel in the lion's den. I refer you to Joseph. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. That's what we have going on here. We, through many trials and tribulations, shall inherit the kingdom of our Father. We must go through affliction and the furnace to see the gold purified and the dross consumed. And it shall be for his glory and for our best interest. That's the first thing. Pharaoh, he tried and tried and tried to decrease the number, and he couldn't do it. Faith. But the midwives feared God. Faith. Okay, let's look at the second thing. Faith in this lesson. The midwives. The first thing is that they said that they feared God. But the midwives feared God. Or that word could be believed or trusted in Jehovah God. That's the first thing they did. Then the second thing they did was action. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. Then the third thing is, with every act of faith, of obedience, there's a blessing. Okay? So this is a gift from God. And so is faith. Let you try to produce these gifts of faith and fear. We can't do it. It's not natural to us. Only sin is natural to us. Sin upon sin. Wretchedness upon wretchedness. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. They feared God and therefore would not obey direct disobedience to the command of the king. I don't know what happened. They didn't know what was going to happen. But here's what we see. Here's what we see. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Did they glory in the fact that they feared God in this our story? No. Faith was aroused. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and Christ is made unto us wisdom. It's a gift. And that's my point. These are gifts. What they're doing, midwives feared God, what they're doing is a gift of God. Now, the blessing, look at in verse 20. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. And verse 21, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. Now, people in religion get it wrong. They say, well, I want houses and I need this and I need that. So I'm going to fear God. We can't do it. Fear and faith and grace and repentance and love is all a gift of God. If he doesn't give it to us, we can't have it. We won't get it. But the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Christ is made unto all these things. So you just simply, as Bruce says, live your life with direct and obedience to the Word of God. Familiarize ourselves with this Word. Look at it daily. Open the book. Crack it daily. This is how we know God's will. Something happens. I'm going on what the Lord says. And he will bless faith. He rewards faith. And this is what he did here. Okay, then now you've got the mother and father. Jochebed, the mother, and Amram, the father. Verse chapter 2, and there went a man, a Levite, a house, took a wife of Levi, and she conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that the child, verse 2 of chapter 2, when she saw that the child was good, a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now that makes it look like, well, he was beautiful, so she, no. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll see what really happened. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 23, Hebrews 11, that great chapter of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, there's that word again, by fear, by trust, by belief in God, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Why did they do that? It says, by faith, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Fear. There's no fear there. Fear of the Lord, but no fear. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. They saw he was a proper child, and that could be that he was a child graced by God. But they did what they did, and in Acts, I think it's chapter 7, verse maybe 20, anyway, it talks about the dad. They're both involved. Was hid by his parents, both of them. Both of them had faith. Both of them were believers. They acted because faith was given to them to fear God and not man, and to put that child into an ark. Now listen to this. How much faith does this take? This faith of Abraham. to slay your own son. Because in the New Testament it says that he believed God was able to raise him from the dead. So he was going to kill Isaac. Faith is the same. Faith has the same object, has the same Lord, and produces the same results. They put the child in an ark in a crocodile-infested river. They took the child and put him in the river, the very same place where Pharaoh said, if you find a boy, drown it. Or just a little baby, you just throw it in the middle of the water and it's going to die. Why wouldn't they, if common sense, I would take this, run inland. Get as far away from that river, because that river pictures death. Do not go to the river. I believe God's going to take care of this child. Baby's born, 3 months, puts it in an ark in crocodile-infested river. You would think that the mother and father would have went the other way, not towards the river. Faith or obedience will have its reward. The mother will be, as our story says, will be reunited with the son. Now, how amazing is that? The Egyptians, they go running and they will find somebody that can nurse the baby, and then they find the mother. And the mother and child's reunited. Instead of never seeing that child again, the mother and child are reunited to nurse it to life. Isn't our God truly beyond amazement and compassionate to us poor, sorry sinners? We're full of unbelief and fear. God takes care of His own. Without faith, says the Scriptures, it's impossible to please God. Therefore, He imputes unto us righteousness, and with that comes faith. All through the merits and the worth of the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have faith by birth. We cannot conjure it up, just like we can't conjure up fear and belief and trust. He has to create us in us a new heart. The third thing I see in this is the overruling grace of God in all the events. Why did Pharaoh's daughter come to this point, this spot in the river, to wash? Why was Moses preserved from sure death at the command of the king to kill him at the river's edge? Why did this daughter, Pharaoh, see and have compassion on the child in direct defiance of her father's command? It's a Hebrew. She knew it was a Hebrew. She said it's one of the Hebrew children. And it's a boy. Don't make your life easy. Just throw it and walk away. Why? Why did the Egyptian sister with Pharaoh's daughter even think about nursing the child with another despised Hebrew? Go back to the Egyptians. Surely in the combines there's a woman who's could nurse this child. But go to the despised Hebrews and have someone nurse it, which happens to be the mother. This is too wonderful. I just love this. Why was this all to play out right here on the shore, the banks of this river? Why was it to all play out for the very destruction of Pharaoh and his mighty army when he himself said, if you find a boy, kill it? But this was all going to play out through history. And Moses was going to rise up and the children of Israel were going to leave. And all of Pharaoh and his army were going to be drowned in the Red Sea. Why? Because when God speaks, no one can silence him. When God sets forth his decree, who can alter it? None, no one, be it a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. The Revelation says, our God omnipotent reigneth. And this is such a beautiful picture. He's ruling and reigning. But the fourth thing we see here is a lesson of free grace in the salvation of his church. Everything, every lesson, every story in this book, all scriptures, not only speaks about Christ, but it speaks about his redemptive work on behalf of his chosen bride. Moses, look at the last verse of chapter 2 that we read, verse 10. And the child grew And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, because she said, I have drawn him out of the river. Drawn out of the river. Now the overview. He's been drawn out of the river. The river shows death. Because that's where the kids, that's where all the kids were going to die. They're going to be cast, all the boys. That picture's death. He was drawn out to rescue his own people, to rescue every last Israelite. Every last. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. There's the gospel. Though Moses was brought to the place of death, the water's edge, the river where death reigned, he was delivered by the hand of God and sent to set the Hebrews free at long last. We died in Christ, and we will rise again in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 5 and 6. Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We, here today, as in our lesson, are guaranteed a merciful providence and provision in God as He spares our life from sure death to bring us to glory with Him one of these days. And that's all done through Christ. It's the same thing with back here in this early, early history of Moses. And it's in our history. God has foreordained. It will come to pass. It will certainly come to pass. So in closing, I just bless our God. Bless your soul. Ye who know by faith in Christ and His Word, who can see God working behind every situation, behind every minute circumstance and every scene. Behind every scene, you draw that. Well, I want to know what's going on. God's going on. God is what's going on. He controls all things, and that is for us. In closing, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Verse 9, but we see Jesus. Now verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons and daughters unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And Romans chapter 11. Speaking of the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, Verse 36, for of Him, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. All things are in Him, for Him, and because of Him. Look at this lesson. Look at this lesson in wonder and amazement. And see the redemptive work of Christ. See the providential dealings of God with His people. And this child's going to live. He's not going to die. He's going to turn Pharaoh and Egypt upside down, and he's going to deliver his people. That's kind of about what he did here, and I'm so thankful. Bruce, would you close us?